Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
We are bringers. Look at your neighbor and say, be a bringer. Come on, that's right. That's what we do. We bring people with us to church. And these are a great way to invite people. In fact, our leadership team, they'll tell you, I always will walk up to them and say, invite card check. And that just means I expect them to show me where one of these are on their person at all times. Come on, leaders go first, so that's what we do. And I'm not going to make it a competition, but I'm going to invite more people than all of y'all combined this month. So come on, anybody think you can outdo me? Let's go. You know, I heard that. She might be competition. I know how she invites. So, but anyways, there's extra cards. If you know more than two people, you can take those with you. And by the way, a great way to practice inviting people is in the checkout line at the grocery store. You know, if you go to Walmart or Publix, you've got a captive audience. They have to be nice to you. Maybe not at Walmart, but if you go to Target or Publix, they're going to be nice to you. And it's just a great time to practice inviting. Even if you mess up, it doesn't matter. They're still going to check you out, you know, while you're going. It's a great way to invite people there to church. Before we get into the message, this weekend is always a special one for me. And so I just wanted to take a moment and pause and just say thank you to you guys for being, I think, the best church in Central Florida. It was July 30th, 2017, when I became the lead pastor of this church. And so it's been 4 years, and I'm so thankful for what God has done through our church and all of us and the family that is coming together here. Man, I don't take it for granted. It's the joy of my life to serve as your pastor. So thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. And it's awesome. You know, I want you to know how much I love you. I pray for you regularly. And I'm so thankful to know you. And when I say we're family, I mean it. I consider you guys family to us. And we love y'all so much. So thank y'all for believing in the vision of victory and what God is doing and for the best days that are right in front of us. Come on. How many of y'all believe that? Our best days are right in front of us. So we're going to move forward into all that God has for us, and I'm excited for that. We'll be sharing more of that in the days to come. But let's pray real quick and just prepare our hearts and minds for the message today. Lord, we just pause one more time to invite you into this place. God, speak to us. We don't want to leave the place the same. We want to know you more. We want to know your word deeper and experience your love in greater ways. So God, let your word come alive in our hearts. Let it take root and produce the fruit of your spirit in us, because we are good ground. And if you agree, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. There you go. Come on. What I want to do is I want to take the next couple weeks, you know, as we head into the start of the school year. It's kind of like mid-year. It's like New Year's in the middle of the year, right? We kind of get a fresh start. We're getting back into school, kind of people start coming back to church, all those kinds of things. What I want to do is I want to talk about a topic that is often misused, misunderstood. It's a topic sometimes we shy away from because there's a lot of confusion, and sometimes people think they don't know how to do it or do it very well, and that's the topic of prayer. Come on. I want to talk about prayer over these next couple weeks and really zone in and see if it's something that can go from, like, I know I'm supposed to do it and I occasionally do it and I did it last night to bless my Brussels sprouts, but to something that becomes very life-giving, that is joy-filled and powerful in our lives, right? I want to talk about power-packed prayers, all right? I believe that our prayers are powerful and that our prayers can be powerful, backed by the power of God in our lives, so that we can see things happening through our prayers rather than it just being something that we do because we know we're supposed to, but it can actually be something vibrant in our lives. So many times I think when we think about prayer, or people talk about prayer, or we see other people praying, it's kind of like they put the cookies on the top shelf, you know? So I want to take the next couple weeks and put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Come on, anybody else glad when the cookies are on the bottom shelf, baby? Because that's my shelf right there, you know? Like, sometimes I think that's what, you know, even talking about Jesus to people, sometimes we make it so complicated and so confusing, like, when it's just simple. It's just simple. Jesus loves you. He doesn't care. You know, like you maybe you were somewhere last night, but you're right here right now. You know what I mean? Like Jesus just loves you, and you can't make him love you less or make him love you more. He just loves you. He wants to redeem you and raise you up. Like it's just simple. And so I want to take this whole concept of prayer and really kind of break it down so that it becomes something that we recognize, like, I know how to do this. I can do it. And even if you feel like I can't do it well, my goal is not to make you like the world's number one intercessory prayer by the end of this, okay? But just that you take one step in your prayer life, just that you're able to feel one more step confident in you, like, I can do this. Like, oh, there's things happening. There's something beyond me behind my prayers. Like, our prayers are powerful. So that's my desire over these next couple weeks. And I'm just going to ask that during these couple weeks, if that's you, you're serious, like, okay, Pastor, let's go. Like, let's take the next 7 days from now until next Sunday. And those who are serious, those who have got some crazy faith, say, like, I'll pray every day. It doesn't have to be for an hour, but I'm going to set aside some period of my day to pray and see what God does. See if I begin to see more power behind the prayers. Anybody crazy enough to pray the next 7 days with me? Come on. All right, I see those hands. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to come back to that at the end. So today, we're going to talk about this being strengthened with power. Look at your neighbor and say, power. Power. Come on, that's good, but I need a little more sass in there with you. Like, say it with some power, like, power, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Y'all need to take lessons from my mother-in-law right over there. She's got to shout louder than the rest of y'all because she's my mother-in-law, but that's all right. Y'all can shout her down a little bit. You can shout me down. Power, strengthened with power. Just by a show of hands, how many of y'all would absolutely say, I believe that prayer is powerful, it's important, and I probably don't do it as much as I should. Come on, I got my hand raised. And if you got your hand raised, that's okay. It doesn't make you a bad Christian. It doesn't make you a bad person. Sometimes to move forward, we just need to acknowledge where we are. It's really hard to say, I'm going to take a step forward, I'm going to make some progress, if I have so much pride in my life that I can't acknowledge, like, oh, I'm in this place right now, or I don't do this very well right now, or it's probably a good thing, but I don't do it enough. Like, if I can be willing enough to acknowledge something in a moment, then God gives me the grace, because I've humbled myself, I can move forward, I can take a step. Right, I know in my own life, I've been through seasons, and probably all of us, if we were really honest, in a season or different times could say, yeah, I probably need to pray more than I probably do, right? And that's okay. We're going to move forward. I wonder why sometimes for us as followers of Christ, we know we have a good Father. We know that He hears us when we pray. We know that God answers prayers. But I wonder then why sometimes, knowing all this, why we don't engage in prayer more often. I think the answers would be varied and different all across the room. And maybe some people would say, yeah, I'm the one, like, whenever I pray, like, I'm like, I don't think I'm doing this right. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong, probably. I didn't say enough King James when I prayed. And, you know, these and thous and whatever else. And that person, when they pray, their prayers sound a whole lot more spiritual than mine. So God's probably going to answer their prayer and not mine. Anybody, you know, like, maybe you're a little bit like me and you've got that ADD pray thing, you know, like, you know, you start off praying, you have really good intentions, and like 15 seconds in, like, how did I lose my concentration in the first sentence? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody can relate to that? You know, like, you can be praying, you'd be like, Lord, help me catch up on all that work I have to do today. Ketchup and French fries. That sounds really good right now. I'm so hungry. Man, who's emailing me? Squirrel! You know, like, is just anybody else like that? You just start out, and it's just like by the end of it, you're like, did I even pray? I thought about everything else. And if you're like that, hopefully you just didn't lose all respect for your pastor right there. You know, like, if that's you, please don't feel bad. If you're in some place like that in your prayer life where you're like, I probably could do this more or better or more often or whatever, then welcome to being a person. Come on, like, it's okay to be a person and to realize, like, I can do this more, right? You know, we just got to understand what prayer really is. At the root of what prayer is communication with our Heavenly Father. Plain and simple. That's what it is. Prayer is communication with God. God longs for relationship with us. He longs for relational connection. Think about the beginning of Genesis when God first created Adam and Eve and they were in the Garden of Eden before sin came in the world. It says that God would walk with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. I love that. When I get to heaven, I want to do that. I want to walk with God in a garden somewhere, it just sounds awesome. But that's what they did. And it's just a picture, I believe, of what prayer was meant to be. I don't know if you've ever been outside, maybe on your back patio, or you've gone on a walk with your family or your spouse or your kids, or you've just been outside, maybe on the beach enjoying the day, and there's just kind of this family feel, communication, just everybody's having a good time. Like, I think that's more of a picture of what prayer was meant to be than this formulaic, ritualistic, over-spiritualized thing that so many people have made it out to be. God longs for relationship. That's why prayer is not a competition. It's not a competition. Did I pray better than them? Did I pray longer than them? It's not a competition to see, did my answered prayer average, is it higher than his? You know what I'm saying? It's not that at all. It's all about connection, relationship to our Heavenly Father. I would say it this way. Powerful prayer is driven by relationship, not by need or crisis. Some people only pray that 911 hotline, you know, when life is breaking down. It's like, Jesus, help me, it's an emergency. You know, that's a good time to pray. But it shouldn't be the only time we pray. You know, I've heard it said prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Why? Because prayer is driven by relationship. It's relational. It's communication with God. So prayer is communication. That also means that prayer is not restricted to a specific spiritual time of the day. You know, sometimes we think prayer ends when we say amen. But I would just say that prayer, since it's communication with God, it's ongoing. God wants to be involved in every part of our lives, every part of our day, from the highs and the lows, the ups and the downs. God wants to be involved in that. So there are many different ways to pray, different types of prayers to pray. You can pray alone. You can pray with your spouse, right? You can pray with your family. We've had prayer time online through Zoom or through Facebook Live and all those things. We could pray all together. This morning we did that, didn't we? We prayed corporately as a church. You can pray with a group of friends. You can pray out loud. You can pray quietly. I don't know if you've ever been around that prayer that prays out loud. Oh, Heavenly Father! You know, like those. And then you've probably seen people who pray, you know, like, Lord, you know, like the quiet prayer. Like, both of those are valid prayers. There's not a right or a wrong, right? You can pray in English. You can pray in Spanish. If you know Portuguese, baby, you can pray in Portuguese, right? You can pray in the spirits. People call that praying in tongues, right? You can pray as you sing. You can, you know, write your prayers. I have friends that they write in journals their prayers and they'll put a date on there. And then when God answers that prayer, they'll come back to that and write it down. And that's a great way to pray because it just helps you to see the faithfulness of God in your lives. You can pray while you're driving, baby. You know, that's actually a really good place to pray while you're driving. If you've got to be on the I-4 or the 408 or just out here on 50, yeah, it's crazy town out there, you know. But I would just say this, disclaimer, if you pray while you're driving, do what Jesus said, watch and pray. Come on, somebody. That's pastor jokes 101 right there. They don't teach that in seminary, which is good because I didn't go to seminary, but gotta say it. If you're driving and praying, keep those eyes open, baby. You know what I'm saying? Don't close your eyes while you drive. there's lots of different ways to pray. One of the things that I love to do is I love to pray scripture. So throughout the Bible, there's places where people wrote down their prayers and they're recorded in scriptures. And it's a great way to begin to learn to pray or on a day you're like, I want to pray something extra. Like, I will pray scriptures that are found throughout the Bible. One that I pray is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I pray this over you guys often and my family as well. If you got your Bible or the YouVersion Bible app, why don't you turn there with me today? Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. While you're turning there, remember the guy who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, he used to be Saul. Saul hated Christians. He hated Jesus. He was a Christian killer. He threw Christians in jail. He was a bad dude. But then on the road to Damascus, he met the grace of Jesus, turned his life around, became a preacher, evangelist. He spent the rest of his life traveling around, preaching the gospel of Jesus in cities and starting churches and raising up leaders. And in his travels, he would write letters back to those churches. We call them epistles. That's the fancy Bible word for letters. But he would write these letters, and these letters make up about two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul writing to the churches, teaching them, correcting them, praying over them. And so here in Ephesians 3, we find one of the prayers that Paul is praying to the churches. And you'll find his prayers all throughout the New Testament. So often he'll say, I pray this so that this would happen, right? And anytime you see that phrase, so that, you'll know the reason for the previous statement. And that phrase is all throughout Scripture. This happens so that this would take place, right? We're going to see that here in the Scripture, Paul praying for the church. He says this, verse 14. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So important note here, Paul is talking about the posture that he's praying, and he's saying, I kneel down. It's the original Tim Tebow. You thought that Tim Tebow started it, but Paul started it. It's from the Bible, right? Paul's saying, I'm down in the Tim Tebow praying, and you can pray kneeling, you can pray standing, you can pray sitting, you can pray in many different postures. The Jewish people in Paul's time would have stood with their palms up to pray this way, right? And Paul's saying, I kneel to pray. And I just encourage you this week, as we're taking these 7 days to pray, try this. Try praying kneeling. For me, when I kneel and pray, it helps me with my focus a little bit, right? To bring my attentions in so that there's not all the distractions, right? It also helps, you know, the posture of prayer also helps as I'm kneeling to approach God with some additional reverence, right? Because I'm kneeling before my Father. There's just this additional attitude of worshipfulness before the Father. The posture kind of determines or dictates how I'm approaching God. So try some different postures in prayers. Try sitting in a chair. I know my mother-in-law had a prayer chair growing up, when Heather was growing up, that she prayed in. I kneel to pray a lot. I also will pace and pray, like, you know, back and forth a lot of times when I pray. There's a lot of different postures to try. I'll encourage you this week, try some different postures. But kneeling is a great way, you know, just to approach God that way in reverence, acknowledging that He is greater than I am, right? He says, verse 16, he continues, he says, I pray that out of His glorious riches. Now, whose glorious riches is he talking about? Anybody? It's the open book test. God's glorious riches, right? He's saying, so I pray out of His glorious riches that He would strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Think about that for a minute. God has glorious riches. So we serve an infinitely spiritually rich Father, right? An infinitely spiritually rich Heavenly Father. And the same Father says, I've given you access to all of it. He said, I've given you everything that you need for this life and to live it in a way that pleases Him. He said, I'm going to meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ, right? He's saying, I'm giving you access to all of the riches of God, right? And He's saying, in that, when you have access to the riches of God, He says, it will fill you with power. It will strengthen you with power through the Spirit of God. Where? In your mind? No, come on, it's an open book test. No, he says, he will fill you with power in your inner being. Now, that's another word for saying your spirit, your inner man, right? Your inner man, your spirit being will be filled with the power, the strength of God. Isn't that good to know? That God doesn't want you just struggling. He doesn't want you broke, busted, and disgusted, just down on your luck all the time. And like, I guess I can never get myself up. I'm just always down. Thanks for noticing. And I'm just going to be down here lower than the dirt because that's all I've got. No. God wants you, it's an interactive message today. God wants you to be filled with strength, filled with His power in your inner man. Isn't that good to know? That it just kind of changes the game about prayer. That it's not this obligation. Oh, God, are you too busy to help me today? Are you listening? Of course He is. He says, I'm going to fill you with power. and fill you with strength so that no matter what you're going through, you can rise above it. He says, this is good to know. This is the nature of God. So don't let anybody ever convince you otherwise about God, that God just wants you just to skate by and just have a little bit and never have enough, never have your needs met, always be defeated. Like, no, as Christians, overwhelming victory is yours. Through Christ, you have the power of God within inside of you, the greater one, the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave, has given you all of access to all of his power. The trouble is that so many Christians don't tap into that power. It's like somebody gives you $1 million. Woo! Come on, Jesus, I got your attention now. I got your attention. Somebody gives you $1 million. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm blessed now, highly favored, coming and going in the city, in the field. I got that $1 million. But what if you just left it in the bank? What if you never used that debit card with that $1 million? And it was just always sitting there. You never invested in it. You never spent it. It just always sat there. I got that $1 million. It's mine. I'm a millionaire. But you never use it. It does you no good. You've got to go to access, tap into what's in the account before it does you any benefit. And it's the same what is happening here. Paul is saying God has infinite spiritual riches and he wants to fill you with his power, his strength in your spirit. Now, it's significant that he's saying in your spirit because your spirit is the real you, right? Your spirit is the real you, not this. This body is not the real you. Your spirit is the real you. You are a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. Your spirit, that's the real you. That's the part of you that will live on in eternity in heaven with God forever or separated from him in hell forever, right? That's your spirit. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your feelings, that part of you. And then your body is this physical body. One day, this physical body will cease to exist. One day, this physical body will die, and our spirit will enter into eternity, right? That's why Scripture talks about being born again. It's the process of our spirit, not our physical body, but our spirit receiving the life of God, because without God in our lives, without Christ, we are dead in sin. So when we receive the life of Christ, we say, God, I give you my life. Jesus is my Savior. We receive the life of God and our spirit is literally born again, brought to life. And that's the differentiation between where we go in eternity, the decision we make on this earth to receive Christ or to reject him, right? It's much like if anybody have a glove, put a glove on your hand before. We don't need them here in Florida because it's always hot. But I grew up in Oklahoma, and we get winter there. You know, winter is less than 50 degrees, okay? But you put a glove on your hand, and what can you do? You move your hand, and the glove moves. It does whatever your hand does. But the glove is not your hand. Your hand is still your hand. It just happens to be in a glove. You don't see your hand because it's inside the glove, but your hand still exists. It's still in the glove. It's still there. But when you take that glove off, and you were to lay it on the table, that glove would just kind of lay there lifeless because your hand is not in there. Your hand still exists, can still do its thing. It continues on without the glove. And that's much like our existence. Our spirit is the same way. Our body is like the glove, and our spirit is inside of the body. And there will come the moment when this body dies, and it will lay there lifeless, but your spirit will continue on forever. Right? And so here, Paul is saying that God will give strength into the real you, into your spirit man. Like, that's what he's saying here. It's this process right here, that there's something supernatural that you can tap into beyond your own means. Anybody have a dream that's bigger than you? Or you ever felt like, God, I know you want to do something with my life, but I just don't see how it could happen. Just even when it's something as simple as sharing your faith with somebody, like, God, I really want to, but I'm just like freaked out in this moment or whatever it is. Man, there's something that you can tap into. It's the strength of God, the power of God that's within inside of you that is beyond your own means, right? It's much like, I don't know if anybody has ever gone on a trip with the company credit card. That's a good trip. Come on, anybody ever been on a trip like that? Right there. You know what I'm talking about. When you go on that trip and you go to get the rental car and they're like, sir, would you like an upgrade? Yes, I would. Here you go. Swipe this card, please. You get to the hotel. Would you like to upgrade to the top floor? Yes, I would. That'll be an extra. Doesn't matter. Just go ahead, baby. And you're like, what's good for dinner? Oh, that Ruth's Chris looks real good for dinner. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? You leave the biggest tip you've ever left in your life, you know, and you're swiping this company credit card. You're not giving a second thought to, you know, what the cost is or anything. Why? Because you're backed up by something bigger than yourself. And it's the same with prayer. When we begin to tap into the power of God that He's made available to us, you are tapping into something that is bigger than yourself. So you don't need to feel obligated or discouraged or wonder if God is going to meet you there or be concerned about what you're concerned about. Absolutely, He is, because He's backing you up with His power, right? Like, we can approach God with confidence. Scripture says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And we do it because we understand that He's the one that's filling us with the power so that we can do the thing He's called us to do. Isn't that cool? He's given us the power for it. Let me show you this next part, because it's going to blow your mind. So He says, I pray that God fill you with power in your spirit. And then He says, I pray that out of the glorious riches He strengthens you with power through His spirit. Here's the reason. Next verse, He says, so the reason for the power, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh, come on, y'all missed it today. He's saying, I'm going to give you power so that you can be close to me. You see the relational aspect of the prayer right here? He's just bringing it all right back to His desire to be close. He says, I want to be close to you so much that I'm going to give you the power that you need to draw close to me. Amen. That's awesome. That's the kind of God that we serve. He says, I'm going to give you whatever you need to do what I've called you to do. I want to know you so much that whatever it takes for you to know me, I'll give to you. Because I want to know you so much so that that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul's saying, I'm not just praying that you would be more blessed. I'm not just praying that you would get the 2021 car instead of the 2019 car or whatever. He says, I'm praying that you would have supernatural power, something you don't have on your own, but that God would fill you with His strength so that you would know Him more deeply, that you would hear His voice more clearly and sense His presence in your life. Isn't that good? Come on, that is a good prayer to pray right there. Realizing that it's all about bringing us back. Prayer is all about bringing us closer to Christ. Come on, this is good today. So what I want to do is I want to give us three things, three specific ways to begin to pray this way, to tap into this power that God has made available to us. Sound good? All right, so if you're taking notes, hopefully you'll write these down. Three bold, powerful ways to pray every day this week. First one is this. If we want to pray with power, we need to pray big and specific prayers. Big and specific prayers. Too often, I think we pray small and generic prayers. You know, like, Lord, please help this broccoli taste like pizza. Or my favorite, Lord, please make this pizza good for my body and take out all the bad stuff and put in all the good stuff. Oh, that's good to pray. That's fine to pray. But, you know, too often, the only time people pray is over their meal and at bedtime or before when, Lord, keep my family safe today. Please don't let anything bad happen to us. Amen. Those are good things to pray. I'm not saying don't pray that way, but if that's all we're praying, man, we are praying small, generic prayers, self-focused prayers even. Because when our prayers are small and generic, it just has a tendency to always come back to me. Keep my family safe. Give me what I need. Help me in the meeting today. And I wonder sometimes if our small, generic, self-focused prayers ever like grieve the heart of God. Because God has already promised that you would have everything that you need. He's got you. And there's so much more on His mind than did I get that promotion or not? Or did I get this or whatever else? God wants to do something in your life, through your life, so that you could raise up your family, a generation to know Him deeply and do mighty things on this earth, so that He could use your life to reach out to people around you to make a difference in this world. God wants to do so much through your life. And sometimes, you know, we're just like, okay, Lord, would you just help me today? And God's like, yeah, remember when I said I would never leave you or forsake you? What else? Lord, you know, would you help me to have, help my boss to like me? Yeah, remember when I said favor would surround you like a shield and you would grow in favor every day? What else? God, would you be with my kids today and just keep them safe? Don't let anything bad happen to them, please. Yeah. Please just keep them safe. And God's like, yeah, remember a whole chapter about that. Psalms 91, I'll give my angels charge over you and they'll take you up and keep you and nothing will happen. Come on, what else? Come on, what else? Let's pray something big. Give me something impossible. Let's go. And sometimes, you know, I wonder if God is just like, there's so much more I put inside you. There's so much more power available to you if you would just have some crazy faith to begin to pray some big, specific, bold prayers, you know, big prayers. Right? I love James 5:16. This is the Passion Translation. It says, tremendous power. Look at your neighbor and say, power, baby. That's right. Thank you for whoever added the baby. He says, tremendous power, baby, is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. It's released. Power is released when you pray big, specific, bold, faith-filled, passionate prayers. So let me ask, when was the last time your prayers were passionate and heartfelt? Come on. I know. Prayer can get boring when it's general and small and self-focused. It gets boring. It almost gets ritualistic because it's just all me. And then it's like, but is this even doing anything? I mean, I'm supposed to do it because the Bible says it. And of course, pastor told me to, and he would expect me to because I'm a pastor. Of course, he would tell me to pray. But it just feels so, ugh. Just feels like I'm going nowhere, stuck in the mud, spinning my wheels. I'm doing this thing, but it doesn't really mean anything because everything has become inward and self-focused and just small, help me get through the day. But if we would begin to pray big, specific prayers, you know, big, like if God doesn't show up, you're going to fail. What if we begin to pray, God, give us a building? Not just a building so we could have cool church services, but give us a building so that people would know your grace. And let us pay for it with cash. Ooh, now we're getting big. Now we're getting specific. Come on, what if we begin to pray big, specific prayers? God, give us a fleet of hope trucks. Give us some warehouses that we could create centers where people could come get food and clothing and medical resources and legal help. What if we began to pray that way rather than, God, use me today? Like, that's a good prayer. Small and generic. Let's get big, specific, right? Let me give you some examples, right? Sometimes people would just pray, God, keep my kids safe today. Help them, you know, help them not to do drugs today at school or whatever else. Help them not to fall into sin because there's badness out there or whatever, right? Good prayer to pray, but general and small. What if we got specific? What if we got big? Lord, use my kids today. Let them rise up as leaders full of faith. God, let the word of God that's in their heart flow out of their mouths, that they would be a light everywhere they go, even when the other people are standing up to go one direction. Lord, I thank you that they will raise up. God, you said my seed, my kids, would be mighty on this earth. So God, I pray you raise them up to do something amazing, that every day of their life they would serve you and not a single day would be lost to the enemy. God, I thank you that your light shines through my kids. Come on, big, bold, specific prayers. What if instead of praying like, okay, God, would you meet my needs today and just help me to pay the bills so I can get by this month? Good prayer to pray. But what if we prayed a bigger, more specific prayer, right? God, you said in your word, you would never leave me. I would never be begging for bread. I would never be broke, but you would always provide abundance. So Lord, I thank you. You don't just provide abundance for me, but you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who sees ahead and provides, and you're making a way for me to be the one to write the check for the building, God. You're making me the one that when I see somebody on the side of the road, I can help them. You're making me so I can be intentionally, extravagantly generous on every occasion. What if you could use me, God? Big, specific prayers. Come on. Come on. And is it stirring up your faith today? See, when we begin to realize that there's something that we can tap into beyond ourselves, when there's a power that's backing us up, it just changes everything. Like, we can begin to pray this way. You know, sometimes instead of praying like, Lord, my spouse is such a jerk. Please change them and make them more humble like me. You know, if that's even possible. Just had to make sure y'all were paying attention. What if instead of changing, praying that our spouse would change, We prayed something big and bold and specific. God, move on the heart of my spouse. God, give them dreams. Draw them close to you. God, I pray you use them at their office today. Give them the right words to say when they don't know what to say. God, I thank you that my spouse leads our family, Lord God. They raise up our children. They speak words of life over our children, Lord God, and not words of death, Lord God. And God, I thank you that for whatever I need, for whatever I believe in my spouse for, God, I thank you that if there's something in me, if there's something in me that offends you, God, create in me a clean heart. You want to get big and bold and specific right there, right? Create in me a clean heart, God. Remove anything out of me that offends you, God. Help me to lead my family humbly. Help me to serve my family and my spouse, Lord God. Come on. That's big, bold, and specific. Come on. Here's the second one. If we're going to pray power-packed prayers, number one, we're going to pray big, specific prayers. Number one. Number two, we need to bring our words into alignment with our prayers, right? Since we know prayer is communication, it's not restricted to a singular moment. It doesn't end when we say amen. What happens then so often is that people will pray a thing, but then they'll stop their prayer and go about the rest of their life, and their words go a completely different direction. Here's what I mean. Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. Well, this virus is probably just going to kill them, and they just don't know how, and this thing's just driving them crazy. But Lord, I thank you, you've given me the mind of Christ. And they're just losing their marbles, and they just can't keep it all together, and blah, 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 and they're just going to lose it.
Yeah. Come on.
So they're praying one thing, but then their words are going another direction. And so they're expressing their faith in this other complete thing, in the doubt and the lack and the fear and the disease and the whatever else, right? See, faith starts in what I believe. It's an internal thing, I believe. But then faith is released in the words that I say. I express my faith through the words I speak. And then faith works by what I do. So three parts of faith, mini sermon inside the sermon. I'm getting off on a tangent. I'll be right back. The process of faith is I believe, then I release my faith by what I speak, and then faith happens by what I do. Faith works by what I do. I believe, I speak, and then I do. It's how we receive salvation. You can't just think about it in your heart and be saved. I believe in Jesus. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says if you believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth. I believe, I release my faith through my words, and then by what I do, my faith is walked out or gets into action. It's a three-part process, and so many people are on the one part. Well, I'm praying for this thing, but it's just not working. Well, and then they're over here letting all this stuff out, everything else negative and everything else opposite of what they've been praying. Now, here's the thing you need to understand, is that I'm not talking about trying to just sound uber spiritual all the time. We know those kind of people, right? They just sound so spiritual all the time. But when you look at their lives, it's like, that doesn't line up. It still looks fake. It's just a front. They're just trying to sound spiritual. I'm not talking about semantics. I'm talking about actually changing our words, our vocabulary, to line up with God's word, what we're praying for and believing for. And I'm not talking about denying a situation. I think, when people come to me and they say, and this is just a disclaimer, if you ever come and say, will you pray for my unspoken prayer request? I will ask you to tell me what it is. Because there's not a lack of faith in specifying what a situation is. You can say, I got this diagnosis from the doctor, and this is what's going on, or there's this lack, or there's this hurt, or there's this depression, or there's this anxiety, but here's what I'm believing for.
That's right. Come on.
There's a difference. Some people just stay in the one side, and all they talk about is the problems and the lack and whatever else, and that's all they ever say. But we recognize, like, I'm going to address the situation. I'm going to address the enemy so that I know how to attack it. You can't have victory over an enemy you refuse to acknowledge. You got to know how to attack that thing so you come at it with the right tools. And so I'm going to get somebody in my life. I have a sphere of people that are close to me in my life. And I'm going to get with them and say, here's what's going on in my life. This is the problem. This is the issue. But here's what I'm praying. Here's what I'm believing. Will you agree with me? Why? Because there's power in agreement. Jesus said, where there's two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst, and you'll have what you ask. There's power in agreement, and sometimes we're just agreeing with the wrong people, saying the wrong things. And so we need to get people, that's why it's so important, who is close to you in your life. You need to go to that person who's full of faith, who's strong in the word, who will stand with you and fight with you through that thing and not just talk about all the problems all the time. Like, we need to get some people in our lives that will agree with us that way to help us get our words into alignment. Here's the last one today. If we're talking about praying with power, number one, we're going to pray big, specific prayers. Number two, we're going to get our words into alignment with our prayers. And here's the third one. If we're going to pray with power, we need to be rooted in the love of God. We need to be rooted in the love of God. Let me show you how Paul wraps up this prayer that he's praying for the church. So he says, I pray you would be strengthened with power from God's Spirit so that you could know him more and be closer to God. And he continues, verse 17, he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Now, there's lots of things that we can root our lives on. We can establish or build our lives on. There's an infinite number of things in this life that our lives could be based upon. Here's the question. Is your life rooted and established, built on God's love? It's the one and only thing that will supply power beyond what you have on your own. Come on. It's the only way to tap into the power of God is to be established in his love. He says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love would have power. Come on, so we see the correlation. You would have power when you're established in the love of God together with God's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ and to know that his love surpasses all knowledge, that you would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So he's going out of his way to say, man, God is so big, he's so extravagant that to even begin to get a glimpse of how much he loves you, like, you've got to have his power to understand how much he loves you in just a fraction. Isn't that amazing? Like, God's love for you is so extravagant, he gives us his power to begin to scratch the surface of understanding what that is, right? And what we need to understand is that, you know, to begin to understand God's love, you can't explain it in natural terms. It's not like explaining to somebody how to drive a car or that 2 + 2 = 4. To really understand the love of God, it's supernatural. You've got to experience his presence. That's why he says, taste and see, or experience that the Lord is good. You have to have that moment where you experience how good God is, that his love is so big, is so good. And so that's why sometimes you look at somebody and you're like, do they have something spiritually that I don't? And if you've ever done that, then the answer probably is yes. They've probably experienced the love of God in a way maybe that you haven't yet. And so, yeah, they do, because they're tapping into power that God has made available because they've had an encounter with the love of God. Come on. We're going to have an encounter with the love of God. So he's saying, man, it's the love of God that allows us to tap into this power. So with God, love is who he is. Love is not something that he does. Love is just who God is. It's the essence. It's the nature of God. He is love. It's not something he does or something that just happens. God is love. And when we begin to understand this truth that God is love and that he gives us his love, man, it just... Christianity then becomes not something that I do on Sunday. It's not something that I try to keep all the rules of. Man, it becomes something that just flows out of me because it becomes who I am. Scripture says that God pours out his love in our hearts. It becomes part of my nature of who I am. I serve him. I love him because it becomes who I am. Verse 20, Paul finishes this verse. He says, now to him, that's God, who is able to do immensely more than all we can ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. So God can do more through your life with how much we allow his power to work in us, right? He says, to him be the glory in the church, in Christ, in all generations forever and ever. So in other words, he's telling us that whatever you can imagine, however much blessing you think God can pour out in your life, however much good you think God can do through your life, there's so much more. God has so much more of himself. If we would just begin to tap into his presence, if we would begin to draw near to him. That's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in James when he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's that first step to say, God, fill me with your love. God, I need your power. God, I don't have it all on my own. I need you. And that one step of us calling out on him, he rushes in with the immensity, the riches that he has. And he says, I'm going to give you all the power you need to draw close to me in that moment. So come on, let's do it all over this room. Let's jump to our feet. Worship team, come back on up here. Lord, I just thank you in this moment right now, Lord God, that you're here with us. And God, you want nothing more than just to know us, to draw close to us, to be our Father, so that we could be your sons and your daughters. So I thank you, Lord, that in this moment, you're pouring out your love inside of us, Lord God. If that's your desire today, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I want to experience God that way. I want to know his love in deep ways that can't be explained with words. It just, I know to the core of my being, beyond the shadow of a doubt, who he is, that he's a good father, that he loves me. I want to tap into some of that power that you were talking about. In this moment, just reach your hands towards heaven. Just begin to tell him in your own words, God, I need you. God, pour your love out of my heart. God, I thank you for filling us in this place, those that are hungry for it, Lord God. I thank you, you're filling us with your love in this place this morning, Lord God, that we're having this experience and encounter with you just by the power of your Spirit, Lord God, in this place, settling things once and for all, that this is a marked moment, a changed moment. This is a pillar in our lives where we look back and say, I met God in that place. He changed me forever. He filled me with his love. He filled me with his power. And so I thank you, God, you're doing it in this place right now. Driving out every fear, every worry. Thank you, Father, even for the questions and the doubts. He's right there in the midst of it. He's not scared of those places. Even in the midst of the hurt or the loss and the tragedy of the past, he's right there with you in it. Because he's a good Father. He'll never leave you. He'll never stop loving you. He'll never stop trying to reach you.